Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
Yes, yes, yes. What time is it? It's game time. Yes, it is. Welcome once again to the 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and that time is the FSP Crew Show time. I'm your host, JT, along with my co-host, Jeff the Joker, and usually we have Black the Bookie. Hopefully he'll call in. As always, we engage in conversation and give you information about the wonderful, crazy, wacky world of fantasy, sports, and politics. We got a jam-packed show in store for you tonight. We want to talk about the goings-on in the NCAA, especially about Penn State, for one, and the fallout from what happened there. We'll also talk about a guy going to court trying to get on the field to play. We're going to talk about that a little bit. And then we're going to wrap the show up. Well, we're also going to talk about the Olympics a little bit. Not that much, but we'll talk about it because it's about to open up soon. And then we're going to finish the show off as much time as we can have with some little fantasy football because it's about that time of year. But without further ado, before I do that, I'm going to tell you the number to call in is 347-637-3220. It's 347-637-3220. The chat room is also open. I'm man in the chat room. The Joker, my co-host, is in the chat room also. So if you have anything that you want to say to any of us, question, statement, comment, don't want to talk on the phone, you want to put it in print in the chat room, you can do that, and we'll respond to it accordingly. Without further ado, let's bring in my co-host. Welcome, Jeff.
Hey, Jerry. Thanks a lot. Thanks, everybody, for joining us tonight.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Jeff. For those, now, Jeff, I just found this out from Vic. I don't know if he informed you of this, but there's a new app out called TuneIn, and supposedly, besides people being able to get us on iTunes, I'm going to put this out here first. For those who have iTunes, you go on to iTunes, you open it up, sign in iTunes. You go into the first page on the top left-hand side, says podcast. You click on that. And if you want to listen to us and be a subscriber, you go to the advanced section of iTunes on the top portion of it. One of the options is subscribe to. You type when the box opens up, you type in the website www.blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK/RSS. Press the OK button. That'll bring you'll be subscribed to whatever shows that we have: the FSP Crew Show, the No Chaser, the FSP Show, and the Master Plan. You click on that and you select all, and it'll get all the prior programs that we've played ever since the inception of the first show, which was FSP Show. So you'll get all the shows regardless of what year it was, when it started. So if you want to go back and review them, you can do that through iTunes. And you can also listen to us if you type in FSP Crew, FSP Show on TuneIn, which is a new app that I think it's available through iTunes. I'm not sure about Android, if they have the same, but if they do, TuneIn is another app that you're able to listen to us. Jeff, I don't know if Vic has been telling you anything or showed you on Facebook, but the No Chaser and my show on Sunday, it's got astronomical archive hits, crazy hits. The Friday show, I think it's over 5,000 archive listens already. It's crazy.
Not too bad. I got to check it out.
Yeah, so check it out. We're on iTunes. You can hear us live on iTunes. If you want to just listen to the show, you can listen on iTunes. Or go to the website, which I already gave you, www.vichbk.com/vichbk. And that's the website where you can listen. That's another place where you can listen to the show. Anyway, Jeff, as you know, and we were talking off the air, we were talking about what happened in college football. And when it came down, this is what the Penn State student body and anybody who was closely associated, including the football team, said.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
Now, one day after the statue of Joe Paterno was removed from outside of Beaver Stadium on the Penn State campus, NCAA President Mark Emmert announced sanctions resulting from the football program's role in the sexual abuse scandal involving the former defensive coach Jerry Sandusky. On Sunday, the NCAA announced its intention to implement corrective and punitive measures against Penn State, to say the least. On Monday, Emmert presided over a press conference in Indianapolis and revealed sanctions, including a hefty fine, a postseason ban, and a loss of scholarships and previous wins. This is a quote from Emmert. Football will never again be placed ahead of educating, nurturing, and protecting young people. End quote. That press conference lasts about 45 minutes, and I'm going to run down the punishments that Penn State was given. A $60 million fine representing approximately 1 year of football revenues. These funds will go to child sex abuse awareness programs, a four-year bowl game ban, scholarship reduction cap lasting four years. Any entering, returning football student athlete can transfer immediately. Presuming academic requirements are met, those potential transfers can play immediately. Penn State vacates all wins from 1998 to 2011, which is a loss of 111 career wins for Joe Paterno and drops him from the all-time win list to 12th. They have a five-year probationary period, with the NCAA reserving the right to implement further punishments. And if I'm not mistaken, I think they had 75 scholarships reduced to 65. Over those 4 years or something like that, Jeff?
I think it was they get 25 scholarships a year, but now it's going to be reduced to 15 a year, and that's brutal. They're going to be like a 1AA team. It might not fully take effect this year, but when that kicks in real soon, that's going to be brutal. I mean, I don't think any school could compete with those type of penalties. There have been schools that have lost scholarships and still been good, but it's just for a year or two, and it's not that many. They're up the creek without a paddle, but they got what they deserved.
Well, I definitely agree with you. In essence, they really didn't have a choice. From what I understand, that they said that the death penalty was on the table, and if they didn't sign off on this type of the president didn't sign off on this type of penalty, then the next course of action would be given. They'd be given the death penalty, which is for Penn State. That's crucial. Even though this is very close to a death penalty in itself. And I just heard, I think it was yesterday or today. I think I heard it on today on First Take that the Board of Governors didn't know about this agreement that the president of the interim president of Penn State had agreed to, and are threatening to sue for the fact is that they were not in the loop, which is further, in my opinion, going to open up another can of worms, and tells me that despite all that's going on, some of these people just do not get it.
Yeah, you hit it right on the head. They still don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
They just, you know, too many of the students, staff, alumni, people who live in that area in central Pennsylvania, they don't get it. They just, you know, when you see the interviews of these people, they were interviewing local people when they were taking down the statue. The absolute denial, just don't get it. But that's how big the university and their football program is. You know, this is central PA. It's not close to Philly. It's not close to Pittsburgh. And this is the closest thing they have to big-time sports. And, you know, I like sports, of course, but you got to have some priorities. And, you know, I could see being in denial. But this thing's been brewing for a while. And, I was thinking, when I heard a lot of chatter that Penn State was going to get something worse than the death penalty, I was thinking what it could be. I was hoping they lose home games because, you know, in a 12-game season, they play 7 home games. I'm surprised the NCAA lets them get away with that, but 7 home games just means more money for them, and they're still going to have 7 home games. But eventually, when they're cutting out a junior varsity team there against Big Ten opponents, they're going to have trouble filling that stadium. Hello? Hello?
Hello, Jeff. Hello, Jeff. Hello. Hello, this is the Jerry in the Fantasy Sports and Politics. It lost power. I don't know if Jeff is going to be able to get back on. But we're talking about the sanctions that the Penn State had gotten. And the other things we were going to talk about, because we had finished talking about that, and what I was talking about is this, that the board of Penn State was very upset that they weren't kept in the loop about what was going on with the penalties. So they had no shot at getting themselves they couldn't dispute it at all. People, I'm having problems here because there's a storm in the East Coast and we just lost the power. So I'm dealing with no internet connection, and I'm dealing all my own here. So just bear with me. So they were talking about having issues like that, that they were trying to they were thinking about suing, which we were talking about that they don't get it. The fact is that if they try to fight it, they would have got the death penalty, which would have been even worse than what they've gotten. Even though this is pretty bad, this is very bad. It would have been a lot worse. So be fortunate, Penn State, that you got this, because you could have gotten worse. Trust me, you could have gotten worse. So just be glad that you only got that, and then go from there. Now, I also wanted to talk about, like I said, we were talking about a few things, and one of them was Jonathan Vilma situation, which was the this was what happened is this, that Jonathan Vilma had been going to court trying to get a temporary restraining order in order for him to be able to play this year. And before his all his lawsuits and whatever else that are in the courts right now are settled or decided one way or the other. Well, he went to court today, and the hearing ended today without a ruling. So the judge is going to rule on it probably in a week. That's quite naturally. The Hall of Fame game is next weekend, the 4th. The judge says the ruling is going to come down on the 3rd, which is on a Friday, a week from Friday, and there's no way that Jonathan Vilma is going to be able to suit up. So he's going to miss at least a week of training camp, but and then you still don't know whether he's going to be able to get a temporary restraining order, because the judge also wants to hear from the NFL about their their side of the story. So we just have to wait and see what happens with that. This is a desperation move quite naturally on Jonathan Vilma, and we'll have to see that if it'll work or if it won't. On the other front is this, is that the NFL training camps have opened up. A lot of top picks, the only two of the top 10 picks haven't been signed. Was the 7th pick, which was the Miami Dolphins, which was Ryan Tannehill. He hasn't been signed. And the Jacksonville Jaguars receiver hasn't been signed either. So quite naturally, they're not in camp yet. But the camps are opening up all this week, and football's right around the corner. It's right around the corner. I happen to see an article here, which it's not surprisingly, because this is what he does. The Washington Redskins seems that they have had talks about adding two veteran running backs, Cedric Benson or Ryan Grant. This doesn't surprise me, because the shenanigans, Mike Shanahan and his son Kyle do this all the time. They interchange running backs, and they bring veteran running backs, and you never know what you're going to get from one play to the next, or one quarter to the next, or one game to the next. That's how they roll. You know that if you listen to any of my talks about running backs, I usually stay away from any running backs that have to do with the New England Patriots. and with the Redskins because they play the game of the Monty game, meaning they shuffle running backs in and out all the time, and you never know who you're going to get as a running back. Because the fact is that they're constantly it's a constant merry-go-round of bringing in and out running backs. This is probably because Tim Hightower, who supposedly is supposed to be the first string tailback, but he's recovering from an ACL injury, is not ready to fully practice because of he had an ACL, so they're going to ease him back into individual work and a few team drills early on. So I mean, it's just a matter of time. But supposedly he's going to supposedly be the every down back, and quite naturally, Roy Helu supposedly is going to be the change of pace. But for the present time, because they need a running back to take the reps, Evan Royster, who's a bigger back, is taking the first team reps in the practice. So it is what it is. What can I tell you about that? Now, I also wanted to tell you a few things here. Let's do this. Did I do that? Yes, let me do this now. There's one running back that I forgot to tell you about. And I wanted to tell you about it. No, I won't tell you about it now. I'll tell you about it on Sunday. On Sunday, for those who don't know, on Sunday, this past Sunday, I ran down over 40 running backs and gave you an analysis of each running back and how I think that they should be drafted and what I thought of them from. It was about between 40 and 50 running backs that I went down. There's another running back that I neglected to talk about. I'll talk about him again before I go into what I'm going to be doing this Sunday on the Master Plan at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time is do the wide receivers. And this is all related to fantasy football. So if you're inclined to play fantasy football, listen to the show. Like I said, it's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Sunday morning, and I'll be running down the wide receivers. And then after that show, the following show, which would be the first preseason game, which would be the fifth of August. The 5th of August, I'll be running down the tight ends. There's a lot to run down with tight ends. So I start with the running backs. This Sunday, I'm going to be doing wide receivers. The following Sunday, I'm going to be doing tight ends. And the Sunday after that, I'll be doing quarterbacks. I'm going to do quarterbacks last. And that would be, let me see, what would that be? I'll give you a date on each one of these so you can copy it down and have an idea of what's going on. On the 5th, on the 29th, which is this Sunday, I'll be doing wide receivers. On the 5th, I'll be doing tight ends. On the 12th, which is approximately the middle of August, I'll be doing quarterbacks. And I'm going to be doing some draft strategy today, but I'm also going to be doing draft strategy and do's and don'ts, things like that, on the 19th. So I'm breaking down each position, and then all through these weeks, all through these Sundays, if there's a something that I should think you should know pertaining to another position other than the position that's the main topic for that day, I'll bring that in because quite naturally, like I said last week, there's always going to be an injury for the most part. There's always going to be changes in the pecking order of who's the top dog in whatever position it is. There's always going to be some surprises, emerging players, players that are in jeopardy or getting cut. So I'm gonna bring that to you every Sunday, right naturally, a lot of people are gearing up to do fantasy football. They'll be doing drafting, definitely doing drafting all through the month of August. Because right now, the first game is on the 6th of September, which happens to be about 6 weeks from now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. About 6 or 7 weeks from now. And so it's coming up very quick, people. It's coming up very, very quick. So I'm going to try to get you as much information on this show, maybe on the FFP show, which is on 1 o'clock on, Eastern Standard Time on Saturdays. That's an hour and a half show. Or, like I said, on the Master Plan on 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on a Sunday. Right now, we have another show, which is the No Chase Show at 7 o'clock tomorrow with Mac Williams as the host and me as the co-host. We're going to have Baby Shaq of the Goodman League fame. He's an excellent ball player. He's one of the star ball players that Mac coaches. We're going to have the privilege of interviewing or talking to him tomorrow on that show at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So tune into that, and you'll be pleasantly surprised, to hear what he has to say and whatever else we're going to be saying on that show. So without further ado, I'm going to go into draft strategies. I'm working right now, people, believe it or not, under a lantern light because there's no power at all where I'm at. And Jeff, who was with me, he lives in New Jersey but a different part, but apparently the storm is so big it knocked out him also. So bear with me. This is not how I usually operate. Unfortunately, the power is not what it is, so I'm limited on the information that I have in front of me. So I'm going with what I have, and I'm going to try to relay the information that way. I don't have a switchboard. You can't call in. I'm dead in the water. I'm talking on my cell phone. So I know you probably can still hear me. So here we go. This is Fantasy Football 2012 Draft Strategy. So, this is quite naturally, it's 2012 Fantasy Football season, and quite naturally, it's coming fast. In my opinion, this is the time right now because most people are, like I said, going to be drafting hot and heavy next month, especially as we get closer to the first game of the year. More people are going to be drafting. Bear with me, people. I got to answer this. All right. And it's, there's a number of different ways from targeting certain players to certain positions. I'm going to go over draft strategy that has worked for me for quite a while and that I've been playing fantasy football. Like anything else, some years it works and some years it doesn't. The game has changed over the past year, so does your draft strategy. Don't stick to the same idea every year. I can tell you that right now. Don't stick to the same idea every year. Make sure you look at how the league is changing and make sure you adjust your concept to that change. Number one, the big thing is to have a plan. Walking in blind can make you do things out of desperation, but if you have a plan, you're more likely to make sound judgments and not overreach for a player or even have one slip by you. Trust me, you gotta have a plan. You gotta have a plan. You gotta have a plan. Yeah, gotta have a plan. And be my along with that is be flexible. Don't go within a set plan and then not be able to deviate from that. I'm sure you heard this before, but running backs have the most value. Now, I know it's a quarterback-driven league. A lot of people tell you that. It's a quarterback-driven league. But in my opinion, running backs have the most value. Within your first two rounds, you need to make sure you get a running back. It's very rare in today's game now that running backs that does not split time is huge. So the running backs, they're going to go fast. You have to keep eyes on running backs like Arian Foster, LeSean McCoy, Ryan Matthews, not so much Frank Gore or Marshawn Lynch, but those three guys in particular. Your main thing, in my opinion, is this. Having depth at running back position is key as well. More often than any other position, they get banged up, and you need to have protection against that. Whether it's their backup or another starter, make sure you have protection. Now, there's a lot of running backs out there that are not in a committee, and it's usually the first five. We're talking about Arian Foster, Ray Rice, LeSean McCoy, Ryan Matthews. Who am I leaving out? Who else am I leaving out here? I can't think of who I'm maybe leaving out here. Who could I possibly be leaving out? Arian Foster, LeSean McCoy, Ray Rice, Ryan Matthews, most of the top backs in the NFL are backs that don't run running back by committee. They're the lead dog. They're the ones that are going to be doing all the heavy lifting per se. And that's who you want. You want somebody that's going to be the person that's going to be carrying the full load. You don't want somebody that is going to be running back by committee. So understand that. When drafting wide receivers, make sure you target the number one wide receiver on the teams. Few teams have legit two legit wide receivers that produce every week. So be careful of teams that throw a lot, because a lot of them don't may not have a number one receiver. Take for instance the Saints. The Saints are a real good example. A bunch of great receivers, but they can give you stud points or goose eggs any given Sunday. I would rather have the legit number one guy on the team than to have to play the guessing game on who is going to get the targets that week. Okay? Another thing, and this has got to do with the Saints and a few other teams. I had the tight end position has gotten very deep in recent years, but the gap between the elite and the rest has grown. If you want an elite guy like Jimmy Graham, Ron Gronkowski, Vernon Davis, you're going to have to forget getting that wide receiver or running back and maybe grab one of those tight ends early and then worry about getting the second running back or the second wide receiver after that. If you do that, I like those guys a lot, but if I'm sacrificing depth to get them, I'll wait a round or two later and grab a Witten or Owen Daniels, who can be just as effective, maybe not as big as much production, but can be just as effective. So just to keep that in mind, a bunch of these hybrid tight ends get drafted every year. I had targeted Jimmy Graham last season towards the end of the draft, and a lot of times I was able to get him 7th, 8th round, with depending on who I was drafting with, because a lot of the people I'm on the shows, I have been talking about Jimmy Graham, and they knew about Jimmy Graham, so they were grabbing him earlier than in other drafts where I hadn't talked them up and were less knowledgeable fantasy football players, and I was able to get them later and grab better wide receivers and better running backs early and grab Jimmy Graham late. That's not going to happen all the time. And in my opinion, I think the tight end position is pretty deep anyway. So I understand that these guys may be on the top tier, but trust me, when we go into tight ends 2 weeks from now, you'll understand what I'm talking about. The quarterback position, to me, is like the tight end position. You have the elite guys like Brady, Rodgers, Breeze, and even Eli Manning, and then the gap to the next quarterback is huge, but there are a bunch lumped together in that tier. If you're comfortable waiting and taking a chance on a less-known guy, it's a great way to keep the depth of your roster strong. I do this every year. I do this every year. I don't believe in taking a quarterback early. I usually grab a quarterback, and it's 32 teams. I understand that the top 5 or 6 are elite quarterbacks, and after that, they're pretty much lumped together. But I can make up the difference of maybe not one of those elite quarterbacks with the depth I have at either running back and wide receiver, especially running back, because the depth at running back thins out a lot quicker than at wide receiver and at quarterback. So the reason I'm telling you to grab running backs first is because the depth of running back thins out quicker than wide receivers and quarterbacks. So grab the best running backs that you can as early as you can, and then worry about wide receivers, because there's always breakout wide receivers. Quite naturally, there's more breakout wide receivers each year than there are breakout running backs. You're going to have a few running backs that break out, but there's going to be, for the most part, more wide receivers that break out and jump up than there are running backs. So grab running backs early. stud running backs or very good running backs early, and then back them up with other running backs that you may take a shot on. And then worry about your wide receivers and your tight end and your quarterback. I've done that, and I've done very well in the drafts that I've done. You can easily get a decent quarterback in round 8 to 10, like Matt Ryan or Andy Dalton, maybe even a Josh Freeman. All of a sudden, these guys could easily give you close to elite numbers in 2012, because Andy Dalton is going to get better. I don't think he's going to go through a sophomore slump. He's got A.J. Green and some other weapons, and I think he's only going to get better. Josh Freeman, he had a very bad season, off season, got a new philosophy with the new coach, got Vincent Jackson as one of his receivers now. So I expect him to improve on his passing numbers. And Matt Ryan is not a slouch. He's not terrible. And if you just need a serviceable quarterback with the upside, then those three that I just named can do that for you. On team defenses, wait on them. I can't stress that enough. Every year, the elite defense from the year before gets drafted really high, and it fails. I've always played the matchup with the defenses, looking for the best matchup from week to week, and play them that way. When drafting a defense, I'm all about their sack totals. I will take a look at the average for the past three seasons and really draft around that. Points against can change based on the team's schedule, and so can INTs. So that is a strategy in mind for the defense. Let's think about this. What if you're drafting with the last pick? What do you draft with your last pick? Well, come on. You've got your quarterbacks, you got your tight ends, you got your wide receivers, running backs, and you got your defense. What do you think you need after that? That's right. Nobody gives them a respect, but you need a kicker. So listen to this. David Akers was the best kicker last season and scored 161 points in 2011. The 12th best kicker was Jason Hansen, who scored 129 points in 2011. That's a 50-point swing, but that is over a full season. On a weekly basis, Akers averaged 10 points per week, while Hansen averaged 8 points. That's only a 2-point swing. So what I'm saying is, kickers, there's not too much difference in kickers. I know a lot of people like to draft a kicker that's kicking inside, like a kicker from the Saints, kicker from the Detroit Lions, a kicker from a high-powered offense that's inside. Well, you can, but there's not really that much difference in a kicker. I've seen people pick kickers in the middle of the draft. Why do that? You're wasting a pick, people. You're wasting a pick. So select a kicker last. Don't even worry about it. No sweat. There's going to be plenty of kickers out there. If you're not pleased with the kicker that that you picked up off your draft, then drop them. Pick up another kicker. If you're not pleased with the kicker for 1 week, drop him, pick up another kicker. For the most part, kickers are a dime a dozen. So, in my opinion, the best thing you can do pick a kicker last. Like I said, people, I'm dealing with no power at all. I'm under a lantern, talking on my cell phone so I can get through this program. We got about a little more than 10 minutes left in the show. There's a few things, Alpha, I want to go over here. While you're drafting, one of the biggest mistakes that you can make is panic. Don't panic. When there's a big run on, like, tight ends, and you say, well, I got to grab a tight end. Because it's human nature. When one guy picks a tight end, then another guy picks a tight end, and then all of a sudden there's a panic sets in for the rest of the people, not for the person who had the cool, comment head. Because, listen to this. While they're drafting a tight end, okay, and reach for a guy that could easily have waited, they could have waited and got a couple rounds later, stay calm and focus on your draft concept. When they're going for a tight end, that means there's other positions that's being freed up that if you have an idea of a tight end that you want to get and it's in a later round, and always have a backup because there's always maybe a guy who thinks the same way you do and doesn't go through that run and waits on a tight end. And you may grab your tight end, so you always got to have a backup plan to your backup plan to your backup. You got to be flexible because nothing goes exactly as you plan on any of your drafts. You pick a wide receiver. You pick a quarterback. You pick a running back. Somebody that may be the best available or whoever that's still sitting there, that you're surprised is still sitting there because these other guys got hung up, caught up in a tight end run or a wide receiver run, whatever position it is, they got caught up in it and got distracted and panicked because of a run on one position versus another. You grab that. You just strengthen your team, okay? Don't panic. Panic leads to hasty decisions, which can ruin your draft, especially if it's in the mid-rounds and you start panicking and you take somebody that you shouldn't have taken early when you could have waited on that person or waited on someone that is their equivalent, and you've taken that position, and now you put yourself in the same position as your other fellow drafters. So don't panic. Now, I've been preaching this whole time, depth, and more depth. When I draft most times, I have 3 running backs and 4 wide receivers before I'm looking to draft a tight end or a quarterback. And for the most part, that's true. I would say that's true. That's 7 rounds, and in the 8th round, I'm looking for a quarterback. Well, I'm usually looking for a quarterback in the 6th or 7th round. So I have about 3 running backs, maybe 2 wide receivers, and now I'm looking for my tight end in the 6th or 7th round. And my quarterback in the same vein, depending on who's there is when I take whatever position first. So you grab your running backs as quick as possible. You try to grab the best wide receivers as quick as possible. And then worry about your tight end unless you're hung up. And I wouldn't, the things that want to change, trust me. In this day and age, quarterback-driven league, a lot of teams, I said this when Belichick first drafted his 2 tight ends, Aaron Hernandez and Ron Gronkowski, I said, he's going to be a trendsetter in this because he's got two athletic tight ends. He's going to use these guys, and it's going to set the standard in the league, and that is what happened. A lot of teams are really, really using their tight end a lot more as a viable weapon. Some of these teams are using double tight ends to copy the Patriot way. So trust me when I say this, you'll be able to get a decent tight end. You'll be able to get a decent quarterback in the later rounds. It may not be Aaron Rodgers or Jimmy Graham, but because you loaded up on the other positions, can make up for what Aaron Rodgers, the point difference that Aaron Rodgers would have given you, can make up for the point difference that Jimmy Graham or Ron Gronkowski could have given you. So you got to look at that perspective, okay? Trust me when I say this, I've won championships with this philosophy, and I plan to win more championships in the future, this season especially. When you rank your players, rank them in tiers. Instead of a straight number ranking system, break each position down into about five tiers. That's going to help you not panic. So when so let's say you're eyeing Andy Dalton, okay? And he's your second tier of quarterbacks, and someone drafts him earlier than you thought. Because you have another guy at the same tier, you won't lose your cool, okay? Tier concept helps you realize you may really like a player, but you also feel other guys can give you the same stats, okay? So you got three guys in whatever tier. Somebody grabs that, okay? Somebody grabs one of your guys, and maybe it's the top guy in that tier, in whatever tier it is. Now, you still have two guys left. And you can see, depending on how the board is going, depending on how the draft is going, maybe a lot of these guys have drafted quarterbacks already. So you know that the two guys that are left in that tier won't get taken because everybody's already got a quarterback. Now they're going to fill out their other positions. So you can wait on that quarterback in that tier and grab some other positions to strengthen your team and then grab that quarterback in a later round, and you'll be gaining an advantage. Just think about that. We got about 6 or 7 minutes left in the show. We're running right along here. Where am I at now? Okay. One of the things I understand, especially if it's a live draft, if you have a bunch of your friends or whoever. Especially if it's a live draft. And all this has got to do with a live draft. Even in a online draft, relax on the smack talk. Yes, it's fun and a great part of the draft experience, but keep it to a minimum. You don't want a guy to be talking trash and then realize you have to make a pick and you panic because your time ran out. So whether you are in a live draft or online, and you start talking smack to somebody and not paying attention to what you should be paying attention to is drafting and not doing making a pick hastily. Tone it down. Now, I was guilty of this last year. Fortunately, I was able to do a viable draft. We had a draft. We had several drafts online, Vic, who happens to be the co-host, happens to be the host of the FSP show, and also Rick, who we all happened to be in the same league. We were drafting in that league. We were talking smack back and forth, and we were able to draft, and we were talking a lot of smack. And if you listen to that show, which took place approximately the last weekend in August of first weekend in September of 2011. We were talking a lot of smack to each other, and at times we were losing track of drafting drafting when our Tom was there. So it can't happen. I won't do that this year. I'm going to be focused on drafting the best. One of the leagues I was in, I won it. So I can guarantee you in that league that we'll be drafting in, that they're going to be looking. They're going to be going at the head guy. They're going to be going at the champ, and that's me. So all I can say is this. You can smack talk, but keep it to the minimum. Concentrate on what you're doing. You want to be able to get the best team you can possibly get. So you got to be smart. You got to stay focused, and you have to have to have a plan going into your draft. Know that and understand that. I got about 3 minutes left in the show. Yeah, about 3 minutes left in the show. We're going to do this. I'm going to give you a couple more. Okay. In a live draft, I would get there an hour, 45 minutes to an hour beforehand, so you can relax, so you can get yourself situated, and give yourself time to set up and get organized, all right? And like I said, relax. On an online draft, get there about half an hour ahead of time. Usually the draft room is open about an hour before time, so you don't have to get there an hour before time, but you can get there at half an hour before time, and that's more than enough time online that you'll be able to relax and do your thing. Be able to have the time and not panic or not rush yourself, so you can make informed decisions when your draft comes about. Now, tune in tomorrow. Okay, I got about a minute and a half left in the show. Tune in tomorrow, which is 7 o'clock. Eastern Standard Time to the No Chaser Show with Mac Williams, and I co-host also. We'll be talking to Baby Shaq talking and discussing other things what happens to do either with sports or politics. Mac is an independent. I'm a liberal. We do go back and forth. It's engaging conversation. So trust me when I say that. And then tune in on Saturday, 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Vic Gardner will not be there. I will be hosting that show. Be the FFP Cruise Show, 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And then on Sunday, it would be the master plan. I'm going to be going through wide receivers. We're dealing with fantasy football, so I'm going to be doing wide receivers. All these could be on iTunes. Just type in www.blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK/RSS in iTunes podcast. And you can bring up all our shows. You can also go to the app, tune in, and type in Fantasy Sports and Politics. It'll come up. You can listen to us live from that. It's a pleasure. I'm on my cell phone. And for now, I thank you for listening. And we are definitely going to be out. Good night, folks.